Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Dammit. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, author Joe McQuillan. How are you, Joe?
I don't know. It's strange to hear that author. So
that's why I wanted to say it real loud and proud.
Might have been the first time on the air. Thank you.
There you go. Well, you are, Joe. My Search for Christopher on the Other Side just released. Your journey of a dad in grief connecting to your son on the other side. I want to focus on the positive of this because that's kind of my thing, right? You took a tragic circumstance of losing your son, Christopher, and through your grief started to open your intuitive abilities, which you probably never thought was possible before this hit, did you?
Absolutely. I didn't know I had any intuitive abilities, and I didn't need to search on the other side because I was very content on my side.
Right.
But when Chris crossed, it caused me to want to see where he was.
It was a very high-profile case in the Chicago area for those who are listening. It was January. If you want to set the stage, Joe, what happened?
Well, January 3rd of 2016, bunch of kids, all new career grads, were all up at a beach house in Wisconsin, a lake house, for the last weekend before college started. And, kicking up their heels, having a little fun. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, four boys decided to, on a lark, jump in a canoe and paddle out in a partially frozen lake. And none of them made it back. All four were gone that night. And
so there's four families that were completely turned upside down.
Four families that were completely turned upside down.
A terrible nightmare.
Knew each other.
Yeah. Middle of the night, you get a call. And so
it was even worse, Jen. I woke up in the morning and on a Sunday morning, and I'd had a terrible dream. And it was one of those silly dreams of showing up without your homework or naked or something in school.
Right,
and, But I couldn't shake it. And it was between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I was settling to watch a football game and waiting for Christopher to come home so we could hang out and watch it before he went back to school. And I got a call that said the four boys were missing from this party. There were, like I said, 12 or 13 of them, 14 up there. And they said there's a search going on. So I jumped in the car and a Jeep and started driving up north. And halfway up, I got the call that it was no longer a search, that it was just a recovery,
definitely,
that all four of them were gone.
Mm-hmm. So this rattles everything. You're still grieving. Everybody's still grieving.
Sure.
My dad died 17, 18 years ago. I'm still grieving. It happens. And so when did you get your first wink from Christopher that he wasn't dead, that his soul was communicating with you?
Okay, so right after he had crossed, I had met a medium years before who had lived in the northern suburbs, who had relocated to Arizona, and talked to her once. And
in your non-believer days, you talked to her?
Sort of believing, but no real, more of a curiosity kind
sure,
of expand
no,
your
no concrete,
horizons.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there was no craving to find out what was there. But she did touch on one thing. We were sitting there talking, and the reading itself was kind of bland, not much going on. And then she said, "Your dad's here, and he's showing me a caboose and telling you railroad." Now, you got to understand, every family has a culture, and ours was a railroad family. All the boys worked on the railroad during college. My dad spent 40 years on the railroad, raised 10 kids. So, in my office, I have a railroad lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Railroad is who we were. And so all of a sudden, this was 15 years ago, 20 years ago. So it was before Google search or before anything else.
Right.
So that was just my dad saying he was around. And I didn't have any urgency to continue on. I believed it, but it's saying, I believe in the Postmaster General. But I don't need to be in contact with him either.
Right.
So when Chris did cross over, though, I wanted to find out if he was somewhere that I could connect to, or if not, and let's check it off the list if it's not, and let's pursue it if he is. So I talked to her on the phone and got some amazing readings that only Chris knew and I knew, specifically about coming to see me that night too, at 3 o'clock in the morning before he crossed. And he died between 3 and 4 o'clock. They all perished then. And so that was it. Caused the
when you say he came to see you, you felt his presence.
Yeah, that was that weird thing I couldn't shake. It was between 3 and 4, and he confirmed later on that he stopped by. And I guess in all the research I've done, and I did a lot, is that spirits often on the way crossing over, before they cross fully over, usually go someplace where they felt loved, where they were safe, to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And this road I've traveled, it's very common that, mm-hmm. that people have felt their loved ones on their way to the other side stop by for a visit.
And then you guys made it a regular thing. You would get up in the middle of the night and you would get direct downloads, wouldn't you?
You know what? Before that even, I started going to a couple of mediums that I'd researched and numbered one or five in Illinois and got some amazing experiences. One example was a guy named Andrew, who you know.
Andrew Anderson.
Mm-hmm. And I went and saw him for the very first time. And I made the appointment assuming I could back out if I didn't feel like it. And the morning before I went to see Andrew, I took the morning off and went to Christopher's grave and planted some shamrocks and seeds so that they could grow. I had moved them from one grave to another, which is a story in the book, which is
right.
Not totally out of character.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a leather bracelet that Chris gave me from Disney World that had Goofy on it, you know, and,
yeah.
and I just put it on.
Yeah.
And I walked in to see Andrew and you know, talked a little bit, and he said, you know, Chris acknowledges that you were planting something this morning. What were you planting? And I said, shamrocks. He goes, and Chris acknowledges that you're wearing a bracelet he gave you.
Right.
And I was hook, line, and sinker. And then everything else, he talked about us launching Chinese lanterns on his birthday,
yep.
going to a special dinner. So
this is proof. Our loved ones are witnessing these things that we're doing when our heart is connected to the action.
And the deal is, and I feel very firmly about this, remember the book, The Secret? It was just a great book. Yeah. There's a whole lot of stuff there about energy, not ever dying, changing, you know, that I believe you've got to go first with the universe, you know, and it's kind of what I figured out here, that I needed to start the search. And once I open that door, I need to get better. There's a funny book. It's a true book. I kid you not. Called "Idiot's Guide to Reaching Spirits."
Mm-hmm.
And so I would research. I'd read. I would do this. I would do that, and try to open up my mind. I would do sage mm-hmm. candles,
and everybody's
anything.
A little different, right? For some people, they love the sage and the candles, and some people like to go to church and they want the holy water, and other people need, you know, crystals, whatever it is, whatever gets you there to a peaceful place where you feel centered, and then you open your mind for you, you're hearing Christopher, and you do automatic writing.
Well, that's funny, because it was the anniversary of his first, of his crossing, first anniversary, which was January 3rd, 2017. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we knew we were going to have, you know, a couple dozen of his high school friends mm-hmm. at the grave. And as a matter of fact, you showed up at the reception after. It was an impromptu kind of fun thing, just to celebrate him, his spirit. And I knew that his friends were there; he'd be there. It was a catch for me. Mm-hmm. I knew where to find him that day.
That was this year, 2018.
Yep, and this 2019 will be the third year.
Correct. So
thank you for mm-hmm. clearing the dates up.
Mm-hmm.
So that morning I got up and did my aligned my chakra. I have a little poster, you know, and did all the things that that you didn't know you do to open up your senses. And halfway in, I picked up a pen. I got some messages, and I just started writing. Now, mm-hmm. it's not automatic writing. Jen, I thought it was, and mm-hmm. three-quarters of the way through the book, I called it automatic writing, the manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally did some research and found out that automatic writing is where you go into a trance and you write in somebody else's handwriting, what this is called channel writing or spirit writing.
Yeah, channeled writing.
But it was Christopher. He was sending me messages such as, hey, Dad, you're not going to believe it. It's friggin' beautiful here. It's blues. It's greens. It's warm all the time. You know, you can travel fast. I'm the smartest guy in the room now. And he would say things that I wouldn't originate.
Right. It was in his cadence, his personality.
And his mm-hmm. words. He said, there was the young man whose parents owned the house, and it wasn't his fault. It could have been anybody's house. But, of course, I'm Irish, so I'm mm-hmm. running with the resentment. And he said, you got to let go of that. And he said, you know, that kid loved me, and I loved him.
Right.
And he said, you got to let go of it. So I said, okay, Chris, whatever. For you, I will. Because when would I need to let go of it? 12 hours later, I embraced the kid at the grave. He came to visit crying.
Right.
So that didn't originate with me.
You know, true, because you're thinking, I'm going to kick his ass.
I've got Irish Alzheimer's.
Right.
That means you forget everything but the grudges, you know? So And this kid loved my boy, and right. my boy loved him.
Right.
But I wanted to hold on to something. And,
well, right.
And
you
got to
be mad at someone, and you can't be mad at God, and you can't be mad at Christopher.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
I was mad at God.
Well, absolutely. I was, too, when my dad died at 56. You get pissed off.
Here's the funny thing. I've been sober 33 years, so mm-hmm. I had some exposure to spirituality. Not religion, spirituality.
Right.
And so I would get on my knees after Chris crossed over, and I would say, you know, thanks for my family, thanks for my spirituality, but I'm pissed. You know, mm-hmm. you took my kid.
Right.
And that went on for 3 or 4 or 5 nights. When I finally got a message that said, I didn't take your kid. I didn't take your son. Your son's free will and recklessness caused him to come home early, and I welcomed him home. Mm-hmm. But I didn't take him.
Right.
And I lost a son, too. Right. So it was at that point that I knew that God was keeping me together when I was trying to keep it together for the family.
Wow.
And so my whole thing changed, that I knew that he wasn't moving us around like chess pieces.
No. And you know, and you said that big part in huge headline there, free will. Christopher's free will. Free will. You know, I remember Sally, your lovely wife, talking about Christopher was like water slipping through her fingers.
Yeah.
He was a slippery kid. He was doing stuff all the time. You had issues with him early on with with learning, with addiction, with lots
yep.
of stuff. You
yep.
know, he always kept you busy.
He kept us. He was a handful. You
yeah.
know, and I think he gets that from Sally's side of the family. certainly not mine.
Right,
but
right.
he was a handful. But and he did. He went. I got him a car. He went to a boarding school because he was my kid in Tucson, and those people are still so very close to us. I sit on the board of In Balance Ranch Academy
mm-hmm.
as of now, and the family and I are still really close. They just named a student housing. Mm. They built a new bunkhouse. It's a ranch, and they call it McQuillan Manor.
Nice.
They named it after Chris. And so, but he flipped a truck on a dirt road on the way to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. He fell down a 30-foot mine shaft hiking in Havasupe. And he's told me in spirit, through mediums, you know, I thought I was bulletproof.
Right.
I didn't see this coming.
Truly.
You know, I
he had escaped death so many times. Why would another canoe ride be any different?
And, you know, people stopped me and said, what were they thinking going on a canoe? And I said, are you serious?
Right.
If you're 21 years old and you had a couple of cold ones in you, mm-hmm. seems like a wonderful idea. It seems like a hoot,
great
doesn't
idea.
It?
Let's
yeah, go.
Let's
so,
go.
You know, and sometimes those ideas end badly, as this one.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I met you. It's a very interesting way that Christopher got us together. So I was researching my third book, Psychics, Healers, and Mediums. No, fourth book, sorry. Ugh, my head. Psychics, Healers, and Mediums, and where I went around the country and interviewed different mediums and documented their abilities, right? And then had a stranger meet with them as well. So Rebecca Rosen was on the docket, and she was the third or fourth one, I think, chapter 3 or 4 in my book, where I knew I had to go and interview her because I had heard a lot about Rebecca Rosen and I'd heard nothing but great things. So I arranged to go down there and witness one of her circles where she has 8 people sitting there and some people have flown. This lady flew all the way from, you know, all over the United States. People came and they sat there. And your wife, Sally, was in that group. Now, yep. we didn't know anything. I'm in Denver, Colorado,
right.
and there's a woman from Wilmette.
Probably
I'm a woman.
March.
You know,
March
it's
of
exactly
16.
End of March. So this is 2 months after Christopher's passing.
Yeah.
I'm doing research. Rebecca Rosen's on the docket, and she's talking, and I still have the audio from that group. I'm sure you guys do too, because she records it. And she was talking about how is this did your son almost die a couple of times?
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, yep. And it was just like, it was his time. It was his, you know, he knows his choices got him there. He knows that his choices
right.
got him there. And this whole thing is going on. So afterwards, there were a few other parents that had lost. And this happens a lot. These people come from all over the country, but there are 4 of the 8 people had dead children. I mean, it's terrible. They,
right.
they'd lost children. And so they could grieve together. They were like a little community. And I remember this one woman from California, she had lost a 4-year-old, you know, and she's just like, I just want to wake up and not hurt anymore,
right?
I just want to wake up and not be in pain because my heart hurts so much. So the way that, and she didn't want to do a group because it was so intimate and so private, but then she was getting hugged by all these other people.
Right.
So I remember looking at Sally and kind of making eye contact, and she said, oh, I came all the way from Chicago. And I was like, oh, note to self. From Chicago. Well, I interviewed Rebecca on this very podcast, and I talked about that experience.
Really?
And Rebecca posted it on Facebook, and then Sally listened to it, And that's when she made the connection.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That woman was Jennifer Weigel. She was from Chicago. She was there doing an interview. So she reaches out to me on Facebook. I happen to be doing an event with Thomas John, the medium.
Right.
And you guys come, and lo and behold, Christopher's he's on stage.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Came
and there you are. His... Is that your first live event?
It was. Okay. And, and I laugh. I write in the book that I had gotten there early and sit up front, which is so counter to everything I've done my entire career. It's
right.
always get there late and sit in the back.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
you Thomas, wanted front and front.
Right.
Center,
and
yeah.
Thomas walked up and said, "You lost a son in cold water with four other guys. You know, he was beautifully looked like Brad Pitt."
And he even said that he used to tell people he was Brad Pitt standing.
And he did. He would tell. He would use that for a line with the gals.
Yeah, yeah.
And Thomas said to Sally, "You've seen another medium before. You've seen Rebecca Rosen." And Sally said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Yeah, she's the real deal." You know, so it's kind of recognition from these two pretty good mediums, pretty famous mediums.
And you know that Sally sent me a note afterwards saying that immediately people thought that I had tipped Thomas off.
Yeah.
Immediately people thought, because why else? Well, you know, it's like if you don't understand this world or you don't believe in this world, you're always looking for that out. You're always looking for that little sneaky, shifty, whatever. And I get it. So when I wrote back to Sally and said, no, I actually didn't tell
him anything.
Of course you did. Of course
you know
I did.
What, Jen,
yeah.
Why? If there was, if this wasn't real in the last 2 years, I would have found it out. This isn't me placating my grief.
Yes.
This isn't me dealing, you know, using this as an out. Mm-hmm. You know, the bottom line is I found out that crossing over is like walking from one room to another. And it's that simple. Now, I've got to raise my energy level through meditation, through chanting or whatever your process is, and the spirit's got to lower their level
because to meet in the middle.
And we're kind of psychic slugs, you know
right.
what I mean? We're, you know, so they've got to do their best. And so the fact that Christopher came through this often, mm-hmm. and every medium that I've been to, small group, big group, personal, and I've done a lot, and mm-hmm. I list them, Christopher's come through roaring through. You know, mm-hmm. he came to Rebecca Rosen. But we were right down here at one of the hotels, mm-hmm. and a big group. She walked over and talked about country music and talked about his Jeep and about a tattoo that my son had.
And wasn't your nephew or niece there?
My nephew, Charlie. It was mm-hmm. his birthday, and he said, "Happy birthday to Charlie."
I was there in the audience that night.
Yeah. And he said, "I love this." Rebecca Rosen said, "I see this dog. Why do I see a dog named Cooper?" Well, Christopher was at a fraternity in Northern Illinois University, and they had a Japanese chin dog named Cooper was the mascot, and he would take blog pictures and
right.
do all that. And actually, you know, we do a golf outing, and we put together a band of musicians, and they don't let me plug in, but they let me play with them.
You can air guitar all you want, Joe.
Four strings, and they don't let me plug in. But the name of the band is Frat Dog, right? Because
yeah.
after Cooper, and she walked up, and not only did she named the dog's name.
Yeah.
Now, good luck trying to Google that one, because I'm sure Jen Weigel didn't know that the dog's name was Cooper.
I had no idea.
Cousin Charlie didn't know the dog's name was Cooper.
Right.
You know, so if you're looking for a reason not to believe, go ahead. You know,
yeah.
but the truth of the matter is, we're all going there. You may as well try to figure some of this out while we're on this side. If I'm going on a vacation, if I'm going to St. Bart, St. Kitts, now, we've had three kids, so the only place we ever went on spring break was Florida. But
mm-hmm.
but I research where I'm going. I go online and I look. Well, that's what I'm doing here.
Right.
And I'm told, by the way, that it's unbelievable. Like Christopher said, "Dad, you're not going to believe it."
Right.
It's phenomenal. And he said, "By the way, it's going to be much less of a learning curve for you." He said, "Because I'm cueing you into everything over here." He said, "When I crossed, it was a little more confusing."
Totally. And now he helps other kids that cross in traumatic.
That's what we've been told by mediums, mm-hmm. that he's kind of a Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Thomas John said to us one time, we were at a private, and he said, "Christopher's here. Your niece, Carrie, who died in 2012 or 13, helped him cross, and she had two kids named Alex and Ryan." And Christopher babysat those kids when their mom died for a couple months,
because
the father was working and putting stuff together. Named him by name.
Right.
And you can't find that. Go Google it, because her maiden name was Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Her married name was Van Cott. There's no connection to me.
Right, right.
He had the year, the name, and said she died of an aneurysm.
Right.
you know, good luck figuring that one out.
That's right. And so as a journalist, I'm always trying to find the facts, but there are some things you just can't explain in simple terms. You just can't. And so you have to get your faith, your trust. And for you now, from December 2015 to here we are, December of 2018, 3 years. How big is your faith right now?
It's unbelievable. I mean, by the way, this journey has been, there's nothing short of miraculous because I think Christopher was behind it all the way. Mm-hmm. I, you know, traded all in for one day with him.
Right.
You know, it's this isn't a substitution for having him here hugging me and saying, Merry Christmas, I love you, Dad.
Right.
But it's the best we got, right? It's a lot better than thinking that's a void, that he's gone.
Right.
So my faith is really strong. Now, you know, I've got two wonderful kids, lovely wife, and so I got a lot to live for, and I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
But if I got tapped on the shoulder tomorrow and said, your number's up, I'm good. Yeah. I had the life beyond my wildest dreams, and I get to cross over and see my son again,
right.
You know, in paradise.
So here's to anybody who's listening, you know, not only is it important to love the ones you have close, right? But there's also this other layer, and I think that Christopher can help with this, and you can help as a dad to a kid that like to, you know, have a good time. Kids out there, I just saw a drug deal go down around the corner with a kid that looked like he was 12.
Yeah.
Okay? This is serious. Addiction is an epidemic, and people are addicts because they have self-love deficit disorder. They have a lack of self-love, and that's a term that Ross Rosenberg, a therapist, has coined, SLDD, self-love deficit disorder. The only reason we try to fill a void is because we don't love ourselves enough as it is.
Right.
And that is something that I hope that this message of, you know, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side can help kids out there that are self-medicating to get a wake-up call, because this can happen to any family in anywhere in the world.
And it does.
And it's happening in your neighborhood. You're telling me about all these suicides going on, all these terrible overdoses, and it's awful.
And, you know, let's face it, you know, if the boy's judgment wasn't impaired, they wouldn't have jumped in a canoe.
Right.
You
know? They wouldn't have gone out at 3 a.m. in a canoe.
Jumped in a canoe. Mm-hmm. So, In Balance Ranch, I'm on the board, and there's nothing I like better than when I go out there for the fundraiser, go to the ranch, and I take all the kids, you know, 20, 30 of them, whoever, you know, part of the school at that point, and we gather together, whether it's in a chapel or the lunch hall, and it's just me and them, and we talk. And I see my son in every one of them. They're a wonderful, loving spirit. And let's face it, I understand that kind of behavior.
You lived it.
I was that kid.
Yeah, you were that kid, and you came out the other side.
Well, through the grace of God.
Yeah.
It was a gift. You know, I think same thing with this book. You know, Christopher was with me on every keystroke. I felt him around me. He would give me messages. I had no intention of writing a book. I wrote the messages down because they were coming from him, and I knew maybe someday sitting on a rocking chair, I'd just reflect and look at them all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in April of 2017, Sally's brother was over visiting, and Sally was talking about how tenacious Christopher was about playing hide-and-seek. Loved hide-and-seek. He was 2 years old. And then he'd find him, and then he'd say, hide again, and he'd take off and go hide again. And I was listening to that story, and I walked upstairs and started writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mean to be an author. I didn't think I was going to be an author. But I felt so close to him all the time. Now, I got to tell you, I wrote the book. I started in April of 2017, finished it by Father's Day of 2018, because that's what Christopher told me. And it was published by Thanksgiving.
Right.
Now, Jen, you're in publishing. You're an author. That doesn't happen.
Not for a first-time writer. Heck, no.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris got his arms around this, wonderful Lisa Hagen, who is both his agent and his and publisher. You know, she published with her company. And
your agent and publisher.
Yeah, my agent. And Chris got his arms around her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she had said to me, "I'll do what I best to read it sometime this summer, because I think you're a good writer and I enjoyed the first couple chapters."
And didn't Marla Fries connect you to Lisa?
No, actually, No.
You had already known about Lisa?
I got on the internet and looked up metaphysical and authors and agents, and I had sent out some manuscripts, and I stopped at hers. And I don't know why.
Right.
I do know why, because I was guided to do it. And then she called back and said, I called her a couple times, and she called back and said, you know, I read a couple chapters, I like it, but I just can't get to it. Mm-hmm. She's coming back a week later and said, look, your kid won't leave me alone. You know, she really did. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Lisa Hagin's just amazing. And she said, your son won't leave me alone. I'm going to finish the book. She called me a couple of days and said, there's a contract coming over your printer right now. You know, let's get this thing done.
Well, you know what, Christopher, and I know you're here right now, but you know, he's got to get us the documentary dollars so that we can complete the documentary, because there's a documentary here, and here's where I see this going. Because there are so many people out there like you that are grieving, that don't know that they can tap into this ability to listen, to hear, to feel them. And you truly do. I think the first step is to clear out. It's sort of like washing the car. You got to go through the car wash, and your car wash is clean. You know, you got a cigar every once in a while. But you know, you have a clean liver. Okay. I'm not knocking having a drink every once in a while, because I partake. But what I'm saying is when you're clouded, right, versus when you're just enjoying yourself. And I think that we are over-medicating with recreational use. It becomes over-medicating. So once you get out of the over-medicating stage, right, you clean your palate, right, you erase the chalkboard, boom. Now you have a clear slate to get started. And you meditate in the morning. You do it very, very early, which a lot of intuitives recommend, super early. And you sit, you get centered, you breathe, and then you listen.
Yeah.
Tell me your process that works for you the best, so that somebody listening can maybe try it out and see if it works for them.
Here's two things. He wakes me up. Now, you got to remember, I'm almost 62, so I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning occasionally.
Yeah.
But when it's time for him to talk to me, and every once in a while, I can't make it to the office because I'm tired, you know, but he'll wake me up and let me know it's time to have a little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go in the office and I'll turn on this banker's light. My home office used to be his bedroom. So his spirit moves very freely around there. And I then turn off the computer, light a candle, light some sage, align my chakra.
And how do you do that?
I pull out the sheet that I got from Andrew, a colored sheet that shows the colors of the chakras, and just align them and breathe out and all the time trying to clear my head.
Anyone who's listening, try this: in for six, hold for one, out for six.
Perfect.
Another one is in for four, hold for four, out for four. Find the number that works for you. There is no right answer. All right, go on.
And then I just randomly on my cell phone with the headsets, get guided meditation to cross over the other side to reach your loved ones. And, you know, I'll pick one that I like and listen to it. And then I have pictures of Chris, and I just meditate on that, and I wait for something to happen. Now, occasionally, Jen, I've gotten answers that said, not today, Pop.
Yeah, you get crickets too.
What the heck? What do you mean? Not today. I'm up. You know, I shave my legs for this. Go on. You know, so I'm up. You're up. But you know, so then I go back to bed or watch. You know, I watch Law and Order reruns or something. You know,
right.
So
you're up.
But you know what?
And they have jobs, and we've learned this from all the conversations that when a spirit passes on the other side, they actually have stuff to do. Apparently, we're not their world.
There's schooling. There's training. Yeah. But they're with us all the time. And I'll tell you another thing that Thomas John said to me. I sat down with him in person. He said, you go to the grave all the time, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, like you were just there. I said, yeah, I was there yesterday. He said, look, I tell most parents who go to the grave, don't go there. Nobody's there. He said, but I'm going to tell you that Chris and you really connect there. So keep going there. I go to the grave. It's a beautiful grave.
It's beautiful.
I bring my dog. She runs around. I bring plastic bag because she runs around. And she got skunked there a couple weeks ago. And actually, in the dedication of the book, I thanked my dog and said, if she's intuitive enough to see my son, how come she's not intuitive enough to stay away from skunks? You know. But I'll sit there with a folding chair and a cigar, and I'll just talk to him, and I feel him, and I want to see him. I hear him, and I can smell him, and I can feel him. But I haven't yet gotten the gift of seeing, and I keep working on that. But I'll meditate looking in the woods and envision him coming through the American Airlines glass gate when you're coming through to the baggage claim. And I'd always be waiting there when he'd come in from school. And that's how I envision him coming. I haven't seen him. I'm working on that, you know.
And you know what? You might have to let that one go, too, Jen.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you're not the first person. I've had a couple mediums say to me,
You got the audience. Let's just be happy with that. It's loud and clear. They might not be able to get both camps. I'm just saying.
Exactly. I learn audibly. I'm far better. And so they said, you're an audience learner. I'm the youngest of 10 kids, which means I'm spoiled, right? So I want it all. But I've got this amazing gift that I've been given. Now, I got to understand something. I'm not over this. I don't want to lose the connection, the pains, very much for people who've lost kids, especially around Christmas time.
Right.
You wake up every day and sometimes you wake up and you forget that you lost a kid. It's kind of like, I guess, for an amputee, waking up and forgetting you lost an arm.
Right.
And then it hits you. And then there's this grief that'll just take you. And for me, it's these minor tsunamis that just roll over me, And I know I'm going to be okay because I've been okay for almost 3 years now. But it's never done.
Right.
You just adapt differently. You handle it better. Mm-hmm. But the grief's part of my life, and you make peace with it.
Well, I'm going to give you a meditation before we leave tonight that was given to me by Marla Friis, who's author of American Psychic. And she credits the Monroe Institute's HemiSync meditations with helping her brain really with the
Love
PTSD.
It.
And when you've had PTSD, you lose a child. There's no doubt. So what this technology behind this meditation, which started in the 80s at the Monroe Institute to help soldiers who came back from war zones.
Men who stare at goats.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's exactly it. So that's completely it, that movie. And so they trained these. What happened is they gave these meditations to the soldiers and they healed so much they became remote viewers for the CIA. And so that it really helped their intuition. So this Thunderbeat meditation goes through each of the chakras.
Love
starts
it.
At the root and it ends at ascension. And they're each 8 minutes long. I can do them in 1 hour. You sit, you do them. Or sometimes you just pick a chakra. I'm like, my heart needs a tune-up today.
Right.
8 minutes. Boom. And whatever it is, there's no talking. So there's just sounds, pulsations, and it goes from right ear to left ear to right ear, and that's what's rewiring the brain when it goes from each side with a different pulsation. It's
great.
So cool.
I would love
so that. Anyone out there listening, you could just Google it, Thunderbeat. I get nothing from them except that I love to hear stories of people who've helped heal their brain because I really believe about 90% of us have had PTSD in some form.
Here's the number I'm going to give you. There's 70% of us have had contact with something, with people on the other side, a spirit. Now, sometimes they don't acknowledge it, what it is, or it was a dream. Mm-hmm. 70%.
One in 10 has had a near-death experience.
Okay, think of that.
I mean, come on. That's wild.
This is funny. I'm going to say this to you, Jen. So here's how my son works. And I just adore him. I always did. But I'm in awe of him these days. Is that Sally met you, talked about you. I got a message that, reach out to her. She's going to help you. From Chris. I saw it. Yeah.
We reach out coffee. Me. Yeah.
You. Uh-huh. Okay. Jen Weigel.
Okay.
Weigel.
Yeah. He calls me Weigel.
And now we're sitting here doing an interview.
Right.
Now, come on. Is that a coincidence? I mean, I didn't stalk you. Mm-hmm. I was told she's going to help you. And here you're helping. And, that's... He's going to get his arms around people. This book is a phenomenal book. I think
it is.
It's going to help a lot of people. And I got one other thing, and I've been told this by mediums too, is that women feel they have a right to grieve and grieve in groups and do support groups. A lot of guys don't.
Now, yeah.
I 33 years in AA has allowed me to deal with pals and talk about intimate stuff and all guys, believe me when I tell you this. So I've learned to be able to do that a little bit, right? But a lot of fathers who've lost kids think they're gone and don't know what to do about their grief, except suck it up, buttercup.
Right.
You know?
This is a manual for any grieving parent, but especially grieving dads.
Yeah.
And I really hope that gets out to anybody out there who's grieving a loss of a parent, a kid, a neighbor, whatever it is, it's okay to grieve and you can get on the other side of it, especially when you open up intuitively like you have.
And you know what? Getting on the other side of it doesn't mean you're losing the connection or doesn't mean you forgot about them or the love. I mean, the love you feel is equal to the grief you feel.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, I was his dad on this side for 21 years, and it was wonderful. And I've gone through a ton of pain after losing him or thinking I lost him or losing him on this side. But if you ask me to make the deal again, I'd do it in a flash, in a heartbeat, to have that be his dad for 21 years. So you know, how bad can it be? It's worth it. It's, you know, the grief and the loss is and the love. It's all worth it.
Now, is everybody in your family on board with this idea that you're connecting to Christopher?
I think everybody in my family is tolerant of me. you know, my and everybody's grieving their own way. And,
of course.
And yes, Sally's connected, and William's actually seen Thomas and gone to see Andrew Anderson. So, and Caroline saw Sherry Jewell. So,
yeah, and also Johanna.
Yeah, and Johanna. Mm-hmm. And so we've all got our own path.
Right.
Right. Mine is laser focused. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I still have to make a living, you know, but this is what I'm supposed to do. This was the calling. And so, and he would say to me, you know, come on, Dad, let's get going. You know, you're going into a slump. Let's get going. You got to help people. Get that book written.
What was your slump, Joe?
My slump was just times I just wanted to sit around and feel sorry for myself.
Yeah.
You know, waste a morning.
Because you're human. Yeah, waste a morning.
Waste a morning. So, but he'd shake me up and say, you know, you had your moment. Now start writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was kind of a weird thing. When I was done with the book, I was like,
well, now
dang,
what?
Dang, now what? But so we started
you
a book.
Write another
we started
one.
A book, and guess what it's called?
What?
Now what?
Now what?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you help
actually,
me with this documentary?
Actually, it's called What Now?
What Now? Why don't you go bang the drum for the funding for this documentary, and we'll get it done?
Well, let's start raising dough.
Get it on the golf
dough.
Course.
Let's start raising dough, folks. We need this documentary
right.
done. Let's get Christopher on board. He seemed to have done a good job with the book.
You've been assigned.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The more the word gets out through books, through shows. I mean, I was watching, it was Mama Medium. Have you seen that on TLC?
No.
Okay, this is phenomenal. I mean, I'm sure you've seen Seatbelt Psychic
sure.
with Thomas. And there's, of course, the Long Island Medium. The thing about the Long Island Medium.
And the Happy Medium.
And the Happy Medium and the you know
the
Monica
kid in
the
LA,
medium
the kid in,
Tyler the yeah. medium there are all these mediums but what this Mama medium
I
is,
used to be a medium it's I'm not anymore
no you're not
I'm an extra large
no you're
now.
Not you're still medium I'm telling you so you're just right how about that
for me
but for Mama medium I think it was she's from the East Coast
yeah.
and she's just a regular gal that they've you know they set up these kind of things and she's giving a reading to somebody at a soccer game or, you know, they stage that. But there are these really wonderful moments. And so we were sitting, I was watching it with my son, and he stops what he's doing, playing Fortnite, you know, to turn around and watch it. Because he's raised around this.
Sure.
He's been with Conchetta and Thomas and Sherry and Marla and every medium that's come to
town.
That's
the norm in your house.
Oh,
right?
My gosh, my poor kid. His screenplay, by the way, will be fabulous when he decides to write it. But anyway... So he turns around and we're watching this woman who was in a terrible car accident and lost a child in the car accident. You know, I mean, burned throughout her body. I mean, just how she gets out of bed in the morning is unbelievable. And the guilt she feels because she survived and her daughter did not. And it just, it stopped and she said she felt such relief because the daughter gave a very specific message that she's with her and she's always with her when she does this thing and does that thing. And so she's still alive to her. And the spirit is in. She's not in pain anymore. And she, you know, wants this and wants that. And so if that can help somebody who is in such terrible pain feel their life again, that's what we need to do with books like yours, with the interviews like this. We have to continue the dialogue so that people have the understanding that it's not just what you see and feel right here, right now that matters. It goes on. There's more going on than we can ever understand. And the more we talk about it and the more we research it with people such as yourself who aren't out to make a buck. You know, you didn't do this because you wanted to be famous and have a TV show. You're doing this because you want to help people who have lost kids or lost loved ones understand their spirit lives on.
There, you know, there's a message to the whole thing that's just they're not gone.
Right.
You know, and you just got to get your arms around that. They're not gone. Whoever you've lost isn't gone, and you can reach them. Find a way, you know, through meditation, through mediums, you know, find a way. Work harder at it. If you haven't had any kind of exposure, work harder at it. You know, I had a buddy who's a guy's guy, and he said, you know, if anybody else talked to me about this or wrote a book that he wrote, that he read about this, he said, I wouldn't believe it because it's coming from you. I'm in, 100%.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's a compliment. That's what means a lot to me, that you know, this message is coming. I'm not a out there kind of guy. You know, this is coming from
you. Like your cigars, like you said, Irish guy.
I still play hockey. I'm 62 years old. You know, I'm on my last dog and my last pair of skates, but I still do. You know, and I do. And my son was a guy's guy, and so we still connect. Not a whole lot different than we used to. You know, I had a session with him the other day, just he and I. And I said, hey, Dad, I don't feel like talking. How about we just be like we used to be? And he and I could just sit around and be.
Right.
You know? And I was like, all right, pal, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know?
Just so, be.
Yeah, just be. You
now
know, so
what?
So find him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So find him, you know, and open up.
Yeah, there's so much going on. All you have to do is start with cracking the door.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is just unlock the deadbolt, and that's it.
The veil's thinning. Mm-hmm. You know, what's kind of commonly accepted now will be completely acceptable in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they burned witches at one point for this
absolutely.
Kind of thing. And
I
now
know.
We understand that this is just reality.
Apparently I was there, I was told.
Wow.
I was one of them.
Wow.
And so was Sherry, and so were all these other people. We were burned together.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. When you speak out about something that's not considered, quote, the norm, or it rattles people's belief systems, I hope, my goal is that people can sit around a table and have discussions like this. It used to be so normal. I mean, there were ceremonies that were held for the spirits, for the loved ones, that was honored, it was revered, it wasn't weird. And we need to take the weird out of it. I know in your journey, you've probably met some that aren't great mediums and psychics.
Well, you know,
I know I have.
Yes. And so I think the answer to that, Jen, is that I've met chefs that aren't great.
Right.
I've met left-handed relief pitchers that aren't great.
Right.
I've met trombone players that aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
I know a few musicians, myself included, that isn't great, that aren't great. So, but I think the charlatans are probably gone because of this mass media of exposure that we have here. But I think some people are really phenomenal at their craft, and others are getting better at it.
Yeah.
You know, remember, I feel my son. I don't want to talk to your dad.
Right.
You know, I don't want
no
to talk to
him. No offense, Tim, but
God
yeah.
bless Tim.
Yeah.
I know he was a legend, but I don't want to talk. I don't want to see your dad.
Right, right.
I do this to connect with my son. I don't want to, you know, but others are, you know, our friend Sherry is, you know, and
she didn't ask for it. It came to her when she was 45. So that's the other thing. It's never too late to open up these gifts to anybody out there that's curious. It could happen to you at 62. It can happen to you at 22.
Yeah.
And I feel like that there's this big breed of younger kids that have. I actually was just talking to a neurologist, Dr. Wendy Suzuki, who has a wonderful book called Healthy Brain, Happy Life.
Okay.
I just interviewed her. And her next book that she's working on is about what she says anxiety is really that our antenna are just on overdrive.
Right.
It's just that you're feeling everything times 10. It's not that we need to mute it. We need to learn how to work with the brain.
Right.
And so for those kids right now that are just, you know, drugged out of their eyeballs because they're hyper anxiety, they're empaths. They're feeling everybody else's stuff. Everybody out there needs to Google empath, E-M-P-A-T-H, because you're an empath. Christopher is an empath.
Yeah.
And you're feeling other people's sludge, so you want to medicate it or you get anxious about it, and then you're diagnosed with ADHD.
Right.
You know, there are ways to work with these tools.
The medium that I saw, and her name's Nancine, and she lives in Surprise, Arizona now, but it was the first medium that I encountered, and it was just the one who talked to me about my dad being on the railroad, and it was just a whim. You know, I was kind of on a spiritual quest, maybe, and it was lovely, but she was funny. She said, your son, and Christopher was a little boy at this time, she said, they're going to diagnose him as with ADD, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he came by it, believe me, legitimately through his old man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you just got to understand that that just means he answers to a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she saw that long before anybody diagnosed him with it, you know?
Truly, truly. So all of you parents out there that have those kids that answer to a different dimension, embrace that. Don't make it wrong.
Right.
Don't make it bad. Like I just wrote a story for my column with the Chicago Sun-Times about learners who are different and audience learners.
Right.
The moment we incorporated audiobooks for my son, his comprehension level skyrocketed.
You know, it's funny. I'm the same way. I listen to books all the time. I download them from audible.com and listen to and
when you told me you listened to mine, you're like, I only listen to Weigel's books right now.
I was on a Weigel tour and listened to one, and I was disappointed that still not gone or still the woman who was the commander.
Suzanne Giesman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That her isn't on Audible. I'm disappointed.
Hers isn't?
No.
Oh, really?
I've read it. And I love the book, and I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Still Right Here.
Still Right Here.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I was disappointed because I'm better audibly. You know, I'm better. I have ADD, too. I like to drive, listen, have a cigar,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever.
Truly.
And sometimes turn on the turn signal. But, you know.
That was you.
That was me.
Yeah.
So I'm very audible too, you know. So, and maybe that's why Chris comes to me audibly instead of
visually.
But I'll take it, you know. So they're still right here, you know. It's a different form. It's nowhere near, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a bad trade, but it's the only game in town, you know. So you might as well figure it out.
So if you're out there listening and you have sadness in your heart because you've lost somebody, ask for the signs. Ask for something. From my journey, it was a cardinal. And Joe just lifted up his arm, and there's a red cardinal on his arm.
And it does mean I like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay. What's your cardinal
That's
for?
My sign. That's Christopher.
That's Christopher? Well, then, of course, Christopher and Tim were up there together, because my dad was a cardinal the day he passed away at 5 in the morning when he was chirping and talking to me, and he was a cardinal. I'm just going to cry.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. Just listeners, you got to know this. I had no idea that Joe had a cardinal tattoo.
I got her.
That's
guys.
Never come up before, ever. And before I even said the word cardinal, it's like you knew what I was going to say and you lifted your shirt.
He's got his initials right there.
Oh my God.
My son sends me cardinals. And so I remember not long ago, a couple weeks ago, I was on the deck after a session with him, and I saw a bunch of starlings a month ago when it was still warm, starlings flying around. I said, I wish there was a cardinal, and damned if a cardinal just didn't fly by. And it was like, cardinals don't generally hang out with starlings, you know, but there was one, you know. So that's him saying, you know, I'm here, Dad.
That's right.
You know, keep the faith, bro. I'm here.
Keep the faith all
You know, day. We connect very much in Peaches in Florida for some reason at night. Just had some monster connections. And there's a beach in Sarasota. It's made of quartz crystal.
Siesta Key. Okay. We used to go there as kids.
Well, if you ever noticed that your feet never got hot, it's because it's not sand. It's quartz crystals that came down from the Appalachian 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. All I knew is I left a buddy's wedding, went there in 2016 in November after Chris had been gone about 7-8 months. And I just felt this magnificent presence of him. And I'm talking to him, and it was a moon. And I talked to Thomas John. He goes, oh, yeah, he walked through you that night. So I'm visiting my sister in Florida, who is Christopher's godmother. And I'm on a beach in Naples, where she lives, at night, to go visit Chris after dinner. And I sat there, had a cigar, and I just got this urge. And I was like, oh, no. He wants me to go to Siesta Key.
I'm tired, honey.
So I did. So I dropped, stopped, got a couple Red Bull, made sure I had enough cigars in my case, and headed up. Added up to Siski, 2 hours, right? And I got there, and I just felt this amazing sense of well-being. I felt him all around me. I get a text from Sherry Jewell that says, look at the stars. I was laying on my back looking at the stars.
Wow.
And I said, you know, all I can figure is Christopher's next to a couple of pails up in heaven saying, see, I told you he'd show up. And 2 hours
all I had
back
to do was
to
snap.
Naples, I told you he'd show up. You know, and